Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew, on today's episode, exploring the blue economy with the host of the Blue Economy Podcast, David Hirschman. So we've been hearing about the blue economy. I've certainly been referencing it on the Bartholomew Town Podcast or when I filled in on the radio on WPRO. And I think it's a really important area for all Rhode Islanders to at least have a basic understanding, number one, of what it is, what the term refers to. But once you do, the strategic advantages that we here in the Ocean State have to not only be a participant in this fast-growing sector of really global economics, but also to be a leader, you know, a driver of ingenuity. So today's episode, a conversation with David Hirschman, who has parlayed his experience in the blue tech industry and in journalism to become the host of the Blue Economy Podcast. Full disclosure, I have been working on the last few months. I'm on the team producing a new podcast series, the Blue Economy Podcast, which actually drops this week. You can find it wherever you listen to Bartholomew Town. But we wanted to get David on to Bartholomew Town, obviously to hype the Blue Economy Pod, but also to really explain what the blue economy is, what it refers to, because it is an area that we're obviously going to be touching on periodically, if not regularly, here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. So as always, thanks for listening. You know, a great way that you can support the pod is to subscribe, but more than anything, rate and review wherever you're listening right now, whether that's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And hey, why not tell a friend if you're enjoying the program? Support for the Bartholomew Town Podcast comes from Newport Vineyards. Here's executive chef Andy Teixeira.
You know, the way we, you know, built our culinary philosophy on farm to table and 100% scratch. So we make everything in-house. We bake all our own bread, we cure all our own meats, we butcher animals, and we only source from farmers that we know personally. There's no frozen, you know, anything. We make everything in-house the old way, dealing directly with the producer.
Discover more at NewportVineyards.com. What is the blue economy? I mean, you can kind of imagine it, ocean-based industries, things surrounding that, but it's a pretty broad sector.
I mean, I think that it's kind of a bunch of different things, and I think that they're starting to be thought of together. It's, you know, it's all of these different industries that work in and around the ocean. So obviously, you have things like shipping, and you know, the fishing industry, and you know, the offshore wind industry is now like a big part of the ocean economy. Mm-hmm. But you know, there are lots of different kinds of companies that work in the ocean, including companies that make like undersea robotics. You know, there are like, you know, I guess like more scientific, like things that are like sort of mapping the seafloor and, you know, whatever. And so there's, you know, for the purposes of the podcast that we're doing, the blue economy is really all about kind of the industries that operate in and on the ocean.
And obviously here in Rhode Island, the Ocean State, we are pretty advantaged to operate within the blue economy. That's another major point of this entire podcast series.
Sure. I mean, we have 400 miles of coastline, which blew me away when I guess when you think about it, there's like all these little twists and turns in the on the shore, but you know, we are the Ocean State, and we have over 300 different firms that work in the, you know, blue tech industries. And so, you know, it's a pretty natural place for Rhode Island to put some emphasis.
Of course, the blue economy also, it's not just blue tech, tourism, things that are connected to seafood, fisheries,
sure,
all that environmental research that goes into it, even the communications and design industries and how they're centered around all the different aspects of it. It's a big set of numbers if you want it to be, I suppose. Can you talk a little bit about the different, you know, kind of outside of blue tech,
how Rhode Island fits into this from the ground up?
I mean, the global blue economy, I don't have the numbers with me right now, but the global blue economy is just growing really rapidly. It's, you know, sort of transforming. It's a conglomeration of a lot of really old industries. Like shipping is one of the oldest industries. Fishing is one of the oldest industries.
Ancient.
Well, I mean, how long have people been fishing? But right. And a lot of the ways that they have been fishing have been, I don't want to say untouched, but technology hasn't really sort of infiltrated a lot of the stuff that happens on the sea until very recently.
Right.
So there's a big kind of transformation going on in a lot of these older industries as they are pressured by one thing or another to both digitize and become cleaner and more environmentally friendly and blah, blah, blah.
Adapt,
yeah.
Something that's discussed in the podcast is Smart Bay. It's an interesting concept. It's something that Rotterdam, that port, is brought up oftentimes throughout the podcast series. The notion that Rhode Island could become a technological hub for shipping, import, export, for sensors that are measuring the impact of the blue economy itself, so to speak, elements of it anyway, on the ocean, sort of embody or utilizing the ocean as an extension of our computer systems, so to speak. How close are we to getting to a point here in Rhode Island where we are a Smart Bay leader?
Well, someone told me, and I don't have the stats to back this up, but that Narragansett Bay has the most sensors of almost anywhere in the world.
Really?
I don't know. you might want to check that, but
yeah.
But Narragansett Bay is very heavily censored, that can helps a lot with research and kind of understanding water temperature and chemistry and composition and all that kind of stuff, makes it possible for lots of different kinds of industries to get built up in the bay.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, let's talk specifically about the podcast series so far. Full disclosure, I'm sitting here in the same seat I am right now with no microphone. So I've had an ear to, as this has been created, from your perspective, let's kind of walk through some of the episodes that have already been taped and sort of the broad message that you expect to convey.
Sure. We've talked to a wide range of people already, and we expect to kind of going forward as well. The idea is basically to, there's so many interesting people working in and around the water in Rhode Island and beyond. And we wanted to just sort of start talking to them about kind of how the blue economy is growing and is kind of impacting the state. Mm-hmm. And then more broadly about how, the role Rhode Island could play for the global blue economy. And so our first guest was Bruce Katz, who is from is formerly of the Brookings Institution. And he, as many Rhode Islanders will know, published a report several years ago, and then now is just putting together an update about how, about the different things that Rhode Island could do with it, with the economy, with blue tech as one of the main prescriptions.
Yep.
And then we also talked to Jeff Grabowski, the former CEO of Deepwater Wind, who had a lot of interesting stuff to say about the rise of offshore wind farms and kind of Rhode Island leading the way in that. I mean, as I think we still have the nation's only operating offshore wind farm in Block Island.
Right, and Grabowski is the person who essentially orchestrated and built that and then sold off his company, Deepwater Wind, to Ørsted, who now are at the Wexford building here in Providence.
Yep.
So
totally.
The narrative continues.
We also talked to Jason Kelly, who is I believe he's EVP at Moran Shipping, but he also runs Moran Cyber and also works with a company that I used to work with called See Ahead. I'm still an advisor there. He talked a lot about kind of the shipping industry, but then also sort of more broadly the importance of the blue economy and some of the stuff that See Ahead is working on as well.
What's See Ahead? Let's get into that, sort of your backstory. What exactly is that, and how did you find yourself in a position now where you have a lot of, information and research conducted on the blue economy and a lot of contacts within the industries?
So I want to say it came from some like longstanding love of the ocean. But I actually, one of the founders of Sea Ahead lived on the street that I used to live on and was sort of had become a friend of mine. And when I left my previous job at Street Fight, I was looking for a new way to apply some of the stuff that I'd learned there to a different industry. And so my previous company, Street Fight, covered location-based marketing, and we did events and research and media. And with Sea Ahead, we ended up doing a lot of sort of media around ocean stuff, which then expanded into, we did a big event last fall in New York.
And you're an advisor, so what does that entail?
Not so much right now, but I, you know, they have a lot of different initiatives going on. I mean, they have a venture fellows program with the New England Aquarium that's just getting off the ground, where they're going to give out grants to like young startups to, you know, help them before they even get to the seed stage. And they're working on, you know, building up an accelerator and a fund.
When you've been out, you know, whether it's been preparing for this podcast or in your previous work, any anecdotes that sort of made you go, I see why we really as a state here in Rhode Island need to double down, triple down, quadruple down in this arena? You know, whether you're a proponent of the notion that, all right, if we build whatever it may be, infrastructure, get an industry going through tax stabilization agreements, whatever it may be, through the free market, you know, in the classical sense, whatever it is, and that's going to trickle down and employ people or not, whatever your position is on how the economics of all of this will impact the average everyday person, has there been a moment that you've instinctually said, yes, Rhode Island, the right thing to do right now is to fully go into this direction?
I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm so like had like a revelation necessarily, but I mean, I like,
oh,
like
man,
but
dude, we're hoping for the big moment here, like the soundbite.
But I think that there's, you know, one thing about the ocean economy is that all these different sort of parts of the industry, you know, the fishing people and the shipping people and the offshore wind people, I think have tended to think of themselves in silos or sort of in like in sort of specific parts of the industry, even though they shared resources and do a lot of stuff in the same areas and affect each other and you know what I think Rhode Island has in its favor, it's you know, we're part of this kind of long coastline with lots and lots of blue tech resources from like Portland, Maine, all the way down to like Newark and maybe even further. And we're kind of smack in the middle of it, you know, with things like, you know, Newark, obviously, the Naval Undersea Warfare Center, but like, you know, Woods Hole Research Center, kind of on the sort of on the edge of Cape Cod, right?
Yes, yep, right before Martha's Vineyard.
And then there's, you know, the like oyster farms in Duxbury in Massachusetts. And then, you know, you get things like the Coast Guard Academy and the Naval submarines and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But, yeah. So, you know, we're like right in the middle of lots of people doing lots of things on the water that are super interesting. Yeah. And I feel like Rhode Island's like very well positioned to kind of bring all of those resources together and be kind of a hub for that. And there are not that many hubs like that in the world. I mean, there are a few. There's, you know, obviously you mentioned before Rotterdam, you know, that like obviously Los Angeles or Seattle have, you know, sort of big ports and like maritime setups. But you know, Rhode Island, I think, has the opportunity to be like a really major blue tech hub, and so I'm excited about it.
With this entire conversation, there's always, you know, not always, but in most instances, there are multiple players competing for space, for what they perceive as the future of their industry. No better example than lobstermen who have complained about the installation of ocean wind turbines and how that impacts their ability to, you know, tow or troll, whatever it is. Sorry, I don't know the lingo. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean, but whatever it is, to conduct their business, you know, there's these trade-offs. We've always seen that, though. Oil spills. I mean, you name it. This has always been there. It's not a new thing. It feels like now more than ever, though, maybe partially because of the communications element of the world we live in, we might actually be able to address and find some real compromise for the first time ever. Do you sense we're heading in that direction, or are we now amplifying some of these competing interests that in reality have so many overlapping interests that they'd be better off getting on the same page?
Well, I think it's probably not a great idea for me to take a position on the lobstermen versus the wind turbines.
Well, not so much a position, but your sense of where the atmosphere now. Do you feel like people are coming together and having conversations and working towards having this collective blue economy, or there's still, you know, we're still in an environment, a climate where that we're not there yet?
I mean, I think that everybody wants to grow, like everybody who works in and on the water, like would benefit from the ocean economy growing. Yeah. And, you know, it's according to lots of the estimates, like it's slated to double in the next however many years, I think fairly quickly. And so, you know, I think it's in everybody's interest to sort of figure out ways that everybody could become prosperous.
Sure.
You know, that said, there's always going to be like tensions between different players who, you know, want to use the same resources.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, in any facet of life, right? That's just nature. Yeah.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
New episodes of the Bartholomew Town Podcast, Rhode Island's podcast of record, every Tuesday and Friday. Listen wherever you like to get your podcasts. And while you're there, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps the organic grassroots aspect of Bartholomew Town continue to grow. And send me an email anytime, bill@ripodcast.com. Who are you trying to reach? Who are you trying to communicate this, the fact that this industry, quote unquote, this conversation around the blue economy even exists in the first place? You know, who's the target audience for this?
I mean, I think the target audience is sort of the more broadly kind of the global blue tech world, people who work in and on the water. And, you know, basically we want to get the word out about Rhode Island as a center for this kind of stuff. And so, you know, obviously we've in some of the first few interviews, we've interviewed, you know, local people about Rhode Island. But we're going to also later on do interviews with people, you know, who are not from Rhode Island or not related to Rhode Island, you know, from companies all around the world who are just doing interesting, cool things that, you know, are innovating and moving forward.
Yeah, from my perspective, it's fascinating because it serves as a calling card for what Rhode Island can offer individuals, companies, entrepreneurs, et cetera, in this space, but also serves as a calling card to Rhode Islanders or people who live in Southern New Englanders to say, hey, you know what? Look, there's so many people around Rhode Island. We all know this, that people say, oh, this state, here's some lists that came up that were in the bottom of, et cetera. And here's a way to stimulate that conversation to say, hey, look, you know what? Actually, let's get it together. We have a chance now for the first time, maybe since Sam Slater, at least World War II, to make a major move here, you know, and plant seeds.
As someone who's been transplanted into Rhode Island, originally from New York, one of the things that the state does pretty well is pessimism.
Yeah.
But like that said, like the, you know, I think that this feels different. It feels like there's like this big opportunity. And, you know, I was just telling my wife the other day that, you know, like it feels like, you know, I've been here for 9 years and then was in college earlier than that. And it feels like a lot of the sort of innovative stuff is actually coming to fruition. And a lot of this blue tech stuff, you know, feels like part of that wave.
Yeah. All right. Last question. Your backstory. So you're from New York. You have that in your pedigree, so to speak. That'll shape you. That'll shape your outlook.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to say this on a Rhode Island podcast, but I am definitely a Yankees fan.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, people ask me this all the time, or not ask me this all the time, when they're surprised. My two favorite baseball teams, the Red Sox and Yankees. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's interesting.
The rivalry is, there are historic rivalries in our lifetime, maybe 1999-ish, you know, just out of pride, but like, 2003, 2004, that was a rivalry.
Yeah.
Dumping the fan dumping beer on Gary Sheffield, that was a rivalry. Today, that's not a rivalry. That's just Fox. That's just a made up thing. All right, on that note, David Hirschman, Blue Economy Podcast, blueeconomypodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen.
Google Play? Is this on Google Play? Yeah.
If you are the person who uses Google Play to listen to the Bartholomew Town podcast, go ahead.
Is there only one?
I don't even know that would be the case.
Yeah.
But and make sure, just like the Bartholomew Town podcast, give the Blue Economy Pod a rating and a review. It helps advance the word about what we're doing here.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. Hey, as always, it's a pleasure to spend some time with you right here on Bartholomew Town. Look forward to next time. Until then, we'll talk soon.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.